Chapter 3. From the lectern, Hartford asked, "Mr. Simone, could you tell the jury a little bit about yourself?"
"Sure. I'm from Reno and went to UNLV in Vegas. Graduated an English major. You know what that means, job-wise."
Simone smiled crookedly.
"Hello, my name is Art, and I'll be your waiter tonight."
A chuckle ran through the gallery, especially from the red-headed jury consultant and Simone's assistant, Micah Gilbert. Gilbert, who looked to be in her early 30s, sat with her legs crossed in tight pants, and her long, dark hair flowed to her shoulders in a sexy curl. She took almost constant notes, and Kate couldn't help wondering if her dedication to her boss was more than professional.
"I went to law school at Hastings, but as much as I loved reading cases, I got bored. I don't know how law school manages to make winning and losing, life and death, justice and injustice so deadly dull."
Simone scoffed, and his fine hands rested on the edge of the polished wood, showing a thick gold wedding band.
"I always loved TV, so I moved to L.A. and got into the business as a gopher, then moved up to producing my own true crime shows and selling them to cable markets. Then I started writing and producing attorneys at law."
Hartford flipped a page of his legal pad.
"Mr. Simone, you heard Mr. Mars testify that he gave the idea for the series that eventually became Attorneys at Law, didn't you?"
"Yes, I did hear him say that."
"Is that true?"
"No."
Simone's good humor faded.
"No, absolutely not."
Kate saw Mars lean forward in his chair at counsel table.
"Mr. Simone, what gave you the idea for Attorneys at Law?"
"My imagination. One day in the shower, I realized that none of the current lawyer shows showed the inside view, the way lawyers really work, in court and out. So I said, if I want to see it, I guess I have to write it. And that was that."
"Did you copy the idea from anyone or anywhere?"
"Of course not.
Let me state the obvious. The idea of a lawyer show isn't copyrightable, and it isn't even new. And there were four main lawyers in L.A. Law, Allie McBeal and Boston Legal. Mars didn't invent it, and neither did I. It started as far back as Perry Mason, and I live in the same world as anybody else."
Simone shifted forward, warming to the discussion, though Hartford's confused expression suggested that his client was veering from their script.
"By that I mean I'm influenced by reality, by my own life. I'm being sued in this ridiculous lawsuit, and on the bench sits an attractive woman judge with real star power."
Simone turned suddenly toward the dais.
"Do you mind if I suck up, Judge Mandy?"
Kate flushed, caught off balance. "Is this relevant?"
"Yes, of course. I'm trying to explain that my ideas come often from my life. For example, I could turn this very lawsuit into a TV series, write a spin-off from Attorneys at Law and call it Judges at Court. And it could star a blonde female judge who's a lot like you, Judge Fanti. Charismatic, attention-getting, the most alive person in the room. What do you think?"
Kate stiffened at the flattery, but the jurors and gallery held their breath, waiting for her reaction. Most federal judges would have admonished him, but that wouldn't diffuse anything.
She answered, "Great idea. Get Charlize Theron for me."
"Done,"
Simone laughed, and so did everyone else. Hartford cleared his throat.
"Now, Mr. Simone, were you ever friends with Mr. Mars?"
"No, not at all. He was one of my campers. That's it. Long story short, we barely stayed in touch over the years. We were never close."
At counsel table, Mars scowled, and his wife looked equally unhappy. Hartford asked,
"Were you sitting in this courtroom when Mr. Mars testified that he met with you on three occasions?"
"Yes, I did hear Mr. Mars testify, but what took place at them wasn't what Mr. Mars said. At the June meeting, Mr. Mars told me he had an idea for a TV series, and I gave him my time because he was a nice kid and he was in dire straits. Things weren't working out for him at the DA's office and..."
"Objection!"
Temin interrupted.
"Overruled."
Kate shook her head, and Simone continued before she directed to do so.
"Mr. Mars said he wanted a new career. I thought I'd do him a favor and listen to him talk. But that's it, and that's all. I promised him nothing. I offered nothing."
Simone turned to the jury, his tone newly agitated.
"His idea isn't what became Attorneys at Law. I was already working on the scripts for Attorneys at Law when we met. And I said it in Philly because I'm from here, too. It's pure coincidence that both shows are about lawyers. What show isn't about lawyers and crime these days? Law and Order, Monk, The Sopranos, CSI, they're all the same hook."
The jurors looked disapproving, obviously disbelieving Simone in this credibility contest. Even the courtroom deputy looked down.
examining his nails, his fingers curled like a grappling hook. Mr. Simone, skip ahead to the final meeting at Le Bec Fin. You heard Mr. Mars testify that you and he made a deal at this meeting, and you allegedly said to him, if I make money, you'll make money. Did you hear him testify to that effect?
Yes, I heard that, but it's absolutely not true. We had no agreement or deal. I never intended to buy his idea or his treatment, and I never, ever said I would. And I certainly never said, if I make money, you make money.
At council table, Mars gasped, and Temin touched his arm to silence him. Hartford asked, did you discuss a price term? That is, how much you would pay Mr. Mars for his idea?
No, not at all. He'd quit his job at the DA's office to work on his treatment, and I listened to him talk and nodded a lot, which is all I did to encourage him. I wanted to cheer him up.
Did he cheer up? After a few bottles of Dom, everybody cheers up. The jurors didn't laugh, and Kate knew they didn't get the Dom reference. She wouldn't have either, but for her legal education.
Mr. Hartford made a note.
Let me ask you a question. If you didn't want to buy his ideas, why did you accept his notebooks?
I couldn't not. He kept insisting, so I took them. As soon as I left the restaurant, I threw them in a trash can.
At plaintiff's table, Mars stirred, and so did his wife behind him.
Now, to finish up, did there come a time when you heard from Mr. Mars again?
Yes, he attempted to contact me a few times after that, but I didn't respond. I was busy, and he asked me if I read his treatment, which I hadn't, as I said. Then when Attorneys at Law became a hit, Mr. Mars wrote to me, alleging that I stole his idea. Then he filed this lawsuit against me and my production company.
Resentment edged Simone's voice.
You know the saying, no good deed goes unpunished.
Thank you, Mr. Simone.
Hartford flipped the pad closed and looked up at Kate.
Your Honor, I have no further questions.
I have cross, Your Honor. Temin shot to his feet.
Go ahead, counsel,
Kate said, and the plaintiff's lawyer began an earnest cross-examination of Simone that didn't change anyone's view, least of all hers. Hartford rose to his feet.
Your Honor, at this time, the defendant moves for a judgment as a matter of law under Rule 50.
Temin argued,
Your Honor, plaintiff opposes any such motion.
Kate banged the gavel. Crack! Arguments at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, gentlemen. She left the bench, checking her watch on the fly. 5:05. She had to get going. She had a standing date.